This is Leo filling in for Katja Gordon for our weekly weather check-in with Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. We've got ourselves an enthrallingly sunny and 18-degree crisp morning on Lake Superior. Barely a few wispy clouds over the South Shore. Kenny, I just want you to know that for me, I really long for two consecutive sunny November days. It seems most fortunate to have had it. I'm thankful for this morning, the day after Thanksgiving, on what some people, for whatever reason, call Black Friday. It's not bleak or black to me. It's really great that it's sunny, but I have to concede, you know, we have to realize this is going to mean that we're probably going to have a cold day in November when it's this sunny. But it's not unseasonably cold. What's your view? Welcome, Kenny.
I agree. Thank you. Yeah, I agree with you, Leo. Good morning, everybody. And yes, this morning I guess I would be a senior climatologist from my dining room. I am obviously not working for DNR this morning. We have the day off, so I'm happy to be talking to everybody. Yeah, we are. We've been really warm all November for most of the state. The majority of the state has been running anywhere between 4 and 8 degrees warmer than normal for the month. And that included kind of a protracted warm spell that featured almost no temperatures below freezing over much of the state, lasting over 10 days, which in November is pretty weird. We don't do that much. So what feels cold, as you kind of noted, what feels cold and refreshing and invigorating and indeed is quite sunny after a rather brisk day yesterday. This is actually, we're pretty close to normal. We're just a little bit below normal for temperatures right now today in Minnesota. So yeah, it's cold, but one of the reasons it feels so cold is because of how warm it's been. And I think most Minnesotans would agree with you. They can handle the cold if it's sunny. In fact, you know, when we talk to people who study seasonal affective disorder, a lot of times it's about that absence of sunlight more so than the cold. And so I think a lot of your fellow Lake County folk would agree that it just looks, it's real nice out there right now.
Yeah. And I think, of course, for people who have that seasonal effect, disorder. I don't even call it a disorder. It's just the reality for some of us that we need more sun in our lives. We have shorter days to begin with. So if you compound that with cloudiness day after day, we're rushing towards the light somehow, even if it's a lit, you know, lighting in our house that just doesn't do the trick. So I did want to ask you, we seem to be entering into a 10-day period where it looks like everything's about, according to Hoyle, normal, and whatever normal means. And I'm just curious, because we've all been told to prepare for an El Nino winter. And I just thought maybe you could remind us what usual pattern, if there is one, we might see where El Nino affects the bigger picture of what always happens as winter, you know, sets in hard in sometime in November and December. Will we really notice the effect of El Nino for some time to come, or do we more or less see it when all is said and done?
That's a really good question, Leo. And I always like to back up, because I don't know how many listeners heard our last conversation.
Right.
Or really know what El Nino is. So very quickly, El Nino, the much ballyhooed weather phenomenon or global climate phenomenon that occurs, generally on kind of unpredictable cycles of 3 to 7 years. And, you know, it can happen 2 years in a row occasionally. It can take almost a decade off, but on average, it kind of has a recurrence of 3, maybe 7 years, depending on how you look at it. This is what's called a warm ocean anomaly. And all it is, I mean, I shouldn't say all it is, but what it is it's ocean waters on the equator, near the equator, in the Pacific Ocean, and particularly about the eastern half of the Pacific Ocean, which is, you know, it's a huge area. Those waters become much warmer. Basically, the conveyor belt of cold water that usually flows from the deep trenches near coastal South America up to the surface, that conveyor belt slows down. And so the water that's at the surface has a longer time to kind of heat up in the equatorial sun, and it ends up being much warmer than it would normally be. And then as a result, the winds that generally blow from the east to the west in that region, in the entire tropical and equatorial region, those winds really slow down. And when the winds slow down, that allows the water in that area to get even warmer as it heads west. And it changes the entire pattern of thunderstorm activity in the Pacific Ocean. And what that does, well, that sounds so incidental, right? And who cares? Like, why would this matter? But what it does is it changes the availability of heat and moisture and the location of that heat and moisture when passing weather systems come through. And once this thing gets going and is a couple weeks in, or a couple months in, it can really wreak havoc on global weather patterns. So up here in Minnesota, when we get El Nino, typically it means that we're going to be having a mild winter and we're going to maybe be a little short on snow, with, of course, you know, variations around that. Doesn't mean that every day will be mild and that we'll never have snow. It's just the tendency has been to have less snow and to be mild. And when we look at the El Nino conditions that are quite strong, those have even stronger relationships with that kind of mild, almost like light winter weather that I just described. So this El Nino is expected, is already very strong. And so we would expect that we'd see those symptoms and mild conditions. We're already really low on snow. My colleague Pete Boulay, who sometimes you have spoken with, just made his map for snow cover this week. And really, there's almost no snow anywhere in Minnesota on the ground. It's, you know, in terms of actual concerted snow cover. So right. we are definitely fitting the El Nino pattern early. I think it would be unusual for this to stick for the entire winter, where we don't get any snow months and months on end. But I think that, you know, this does match what we've seen. You know, the last time was in the 2015 and 16 winter, where we had late ice on the Minnesota lakes. So that kind of delayed the ice fishing season. We had a mild November. We were short on snow. And then, you know, we did end up getting snowfall that was maybe 80% of what's normal over most of the state. But people were asking, where did winter go? And that's kind of a common thing that happens, especially in a strong El Nino.
Right. My spouse noted that our small branch of the Knife River system shows very little freezing, maybe some glimmers at the edges. But you mentioned we had the warmer November. I'm curious, do you have an inland lake kind of monitoring system at the DNR? Do you know whether lake ice will be forming and, you know, making safe conditions for ice fishing anytime soon?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if we made some, you know, the next 10 days, as you noted, are pretty normal looking, which does mean a lot of below freezing temperatures and not a lot of major weather systems with precipitation. And those are pretty good conditions for forming ice.
Sure.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we started forming some of that early ice in northern Minnesota, where we're going to spend a lot of time below freezing.
Right.
We do have a great network of lake ice monitoring. It's mostly citizen observers, just like we have with Coco Rods, except these report directly to our office, generally to Pete or to me. And it's we have probably close to 1,000 lakes that have been monitored over time. We don't have any way of knowing how fast the ice is coming on, because the thing we ask for is ice in. When is the ice, you know, basically complete from shore to shore?
Right.
And then when is the ice out, essentially from shore to shore? And we don't necessarily know. We don't necessarily know where we are in that process. We are probably forming ice now, but it's going to take a while for the ice to be safe, right? Because we haven't built any ice. In fact, we just checked with some some friends up in far northeast Minnesota, far northern Minnesota, northern St. Louis and northern Lake counties, and they didn't have any ice anywhere to report to us early in the week. So we're probably, I wouldn't be surprised if we're 10 days behind.
And of course, that for recreationists who need that ice, that's disappointing for others of us who also are concerned about the penetration of frost into the ground. We really do like to get a modest but substantial early snow cover, and no sign of that yet, not in the 10-day forecast that I'm looking at.
Yeah, there are a couple sort of candidate weather systems that might drop some light to moderate accumulating snow, but potentially just wet snow, one over the next week, and then one that's showing up once you get earlier into December. Neither of these have very, what we call strong signals, so neither of them look like what you might call a slam dunk, where, oh, this is guaranteed, but there's some signs that in about a week, we could get a snowstorm or a snowfall anyway over the eastern part of Minnesota, and then maybe another one the week after. But there are no signs right now indicating that we're moving into an exceptionally stormy, which would mean snowy pattern. There's also no signs that we're moving into a rainy pattern. In fact, much of Minnesota has been unusually dry for November. Here in the Twin Cities, we're flirting with a record for dryness all time. And that's also true in St. Cloud. The Duluth area, which has the kind of longest term record of northeast Minnesota, got and Two Harbors, you got some precipitation during November. So, but you're not representative of the state. Most of the region and most of the state has been quite dry this November.
Yeah, in our area there was a band of snow between 4 and 7 inches that I see no signs of at my house. Maybe inland some folks have a couple of pockets of snow still on the ground from that. I doubt it. But, yeah, we're all ready. we're all as ready as we're going to be for welcoming the white ground of the three to five months of snow cover. There's really no worse notion to me than rain in December and January. I suppose it is precipitation, but... we don't really need to form a sheet of ice over our area. So that was why I asked about the prospects of El Nino and whether we might see the precipitation come down in the wrong format.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good question. And El Nino really is, if you put it one way, it's really associated with winters that by and large don't behave a lot like what we're used to for winter. They do always have snow and they do always have cold, but they tend to produce these prolonged periods of no snow. They often produce really mild conditions, even in the middle of winter, at times where you actually can melt some of that that deep ground frost. And so I'd say if even though we don't know exactly what'll happen, we should all sort of prepare ourselves for a winter that doesn't feel a lot like a typical Minnesota winter.
Well, I'll try to gear up that way. I know meteorological winter begins shortly on December 1st, and Kenny Kotcha should be back talking with you right before that that milestone, and I hope to talk to you again soon. We're up against the clock, and I really appreciate you coming and visiting with us on your day off. It's much appreciated.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, Kenny.
Happy to do it. Yep. Happy Thanksgiving belated, everybody, and have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. That was Kenny Blumenfeld with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. He's the senior climatologist there. This is Leo for KTWH.